online hate speech, serious accusations and trolling. Should social media platforms like Facebook and Twitter require you to have photographic ID to be able to sign up for an account? That is exactly what Jamie Bryson is calling for. He was the victim of a photo that was shared online, suggested by some to be of him taking drugs. And he has, of course, denied that he is in that photograph. He's on the line. Good morning to you, Jamie.
Hey, Vinny.
And Fionnuala Meredith is with us as well. Good morning to you.
Morning, Vinny.
Jamie, just to give you a moment or two, just to give us a bit of context in terms of that photograph, because I know a lot of people receive a lot of nasty comments online, but this one was particularly difficult for you to swallow. What happened?
Well, the majority of comments I get every day are nasty and abusive, but and I normally ignore them. I don't give any credence to them. But on this occasion, I felt that the accusation was so vile and so malicious that I had to dismiss it. I don't want to get into explaining a photograph that is so preposterous it doesn't even need an explanation. But effectively, what happened was a couple of anonymous social media accounts. It appears them. Well, other things that are on the accounts that there may have been a sectarian agenda behind it, got together and started sharing this photograph, claiming it was me engaged in taking drugs, which is anybody that knows me is probably would find that absolutely hilarious, more hilarious than the photo itself. Now, before we even get into talking about the fact that the person in the photo had black hair and black eyebrows, but aside from that, to have this allegation spread around the internet about you, especially when it's false and malicious, you know, I couldn't just sit back and allow that to happen without challenging it.
What other kind of abuse do you get, Jamie, on a daily basis?
Well, look, for a simple example, I put a very simple tweet up this morning just to say that I was going to be on the show discussing social media, you know, a totally inconspicuous tweet. And if you actually go and have a look underneath it at some of the comments and the abuse that's directed towards me, it's just vile, personal, hateful abuse. But and on another occasion recently, there was a quite vile campaign of abuse directed towards my child, who's 2 years of age. And again, that's something that I felt I had to respond to because my child is entitled to live his own life and shouldn't be subjected to abuse simply because he's my son. But beyond that, the child is 2 years of age, and to have people making vile and abusive and profanity-laden comments about him on the internet, I think it's absolutely disgraceful. But I want to get it away from about me, because many people suffer from this. You have a look.
Well, what is it you're calling for, though, just so we have an understanding? Because many of us are on Facebook or Twitter, and we know that process you go through. You put in your name, date of birth, and an email, and that's pretty much all you need to have to set up an account.
Yeah, well, I think that we're at the stage now where there should be some form of light regulation, in the sense that you should have to provide a valid form of photographic ID and perhaps a postal address and your name when signing up. Now, that's not to say once you've signed up that you can't use a pseudonym or you can't use a different name when using the account, but the social media operators should be aware of exactly the identity of the people, because there's many occasions where people are actually committing criminal offences online. You know, if I telephone somebody up or knocked their door 25 times a day and started screaming vile profanity-laden abuse at them, I'd be arrested for harassment. Yet people can do this on the internet, and there's seemingly no recourse. And the PSNI, you know, the security services in the United Kingdom can fire a drone and hit somebody halfway across the world, but sometimes they find it difficult to identify who's using social media accounts, and so, I just think that's egregious.
So, Fionnuala Meredith, so when you want to set up one of these accounts, you've got to have and provide photographic ID, as you would do if you're applying for certain other things online. What do you think? Is that a step too far?
I do, really, because I think we need to be really careful we don't erode the principle of freedom of expression and the right to be anonymous if we choose. Now, obviously, there's horrendous abuse goes on the internet. We all know that. We've just heard a bit about a few examples of it. It's really unpleasant and nasty. There's no way to defend it. But if you start eroding anonymity, you know, what about the case of whistleblowers, people who want to expose wrongdoing but are perhaps in a vulnerable position themselves? You also, you know, to use a recent example, look at the Me Too campaign against sexual harassment. People might not feel in a position that they want their identity to be known, even by the social media companies. I think it's also important to say that it's actually really difficult to be absolutely anonymous on the internet. And it is important to punish people who, you know, defame or harass or threaten other people. But they can be identified and prosecuted. I mean, we've already seen examples of that happening. One that sprang to mind was a man who was jailed over really vile online abuse directed at the Labour MP, Stella Creasy. I think it was when she put her name to a campaign to have Jane Austen in the new £10 note. he was sentenced to 18 weeks in jail for sending indecent, obscene and menacing messages. So there are laws there. Maybe they're not always used as much as they should be, but there are laws. And to start saying, well, no, we've got to hand over all this information to the social media companies, they already know a hell of a lot about people. And I'd be very worried about an increase in surveillance culture.
Okay, 030-30-80-55-55. Rob, first call on this. Go ahead, Rob.
Good morning, Finny. How you doing?
Not bad.
I didn't think I'd hear myself ever say this, but I actually agree with Jimmy Bryson. I think he has a very valid point. I think when it comes down to the fact that people are online trolling, and you know, I seen those disgraceful images that attacked Mr. Bryson, and they were nothing short of disgraceful.
What about Fionnuala's point in terms of whistleblowers or people? Some would say they're sharing important information and they're doing it anonymously. And if they weren't able to set up that anonymous account, they had to send off their passport or whatever to set up the account. It might, you know, dissuade them from doing that in the first place.
Well, I don't think it will. I think that there's been many ways over the years before social media platforms for individuals to blow the whistle on certain issues. What I do think it will do, it will make people be a lot more thoughtful in the context of what they're writing online, due to the legal ramifications and remedies that will be available to members of the public in terms of challenging the information that's being put into the public domain. So I think that there's a real valid argument coming from Jamie this morning. I think it'll allow law enforcement to very quickly address any individual who is putting information out there, who is trolling, who is being abusive.
You heard what Jamie's example there in terms of drones and the things that they can do now in terms of technology. And surely, you know, when you set up an account, there's some kind of digital footprint, you know, your IP address. I don't really understand it all. But there's bound to be some way they can track you down if you are posting things like that online, Rob.
I think the difficulty with that, Finny, is that there is ways of tracking through, as you say, IP addresses. But those can be rerouted, et cetera, et cetera. But then again, you know, on the other side of it, to play devil's advocate as such, what you have is the potential for identity abuse and individuals maybe whose passports or identification documents are being used when that's actually not the person. So, you know, there's a whole wide range of arguments to be had here, but I do support the notion that Mr. Bryson has put forward this
morning. Yeah, Jamie, I find it interesting when I would get the odd nasty message, and sometimes, quite often, it's not necessarily people that are doing it anonymously. And a lot of trolls, I believe, don't realise that they are trolls. They think they're just sharing their opinion no matter how nasty it is. Do you think that sometimes it can depend on who is on the receiving end? For example, you, some people might describe you as slightly Marmite, some people are fans of yours, some people are not Jamie Bryson. And the ones that are not say, well, it's Jamie Bryson, sometimes I believe that he invites it in, therefore that this is okay.
Well, look, well, yeah, well, let me deal with that point, because I do think there's a hypocrisy on social media between people who, and let's widen it out beyond me, people who would have conservative views or what are seen as controversial social views, however lawful those views are. Those people, it is deemed the liberal elite, as I would call them, find it fine. You know, it's socially acceptable to abuse me and to call me all sorts of names and to target me with horrible abuse. But yet, if you targeted somebody who was socially liberal, there would be outrage. And let me give you a very quick example. Let's take two people, two ladies, who are exactly the same. Let's take Ruth Dudley Edwards, who is a conservative commentator and older lady. Let's take Fionnuala O'Connor, for example, commentator with Irish News, very good commentator as well, and older lady. Now, if this Dudley Edwards puts out an article, some of the vile and hateful abuse directed at that lady, and that's acceptable, that's fine. If Fionnuala O'Connor received such vile, disgraceful abuse, there would quite rightly be absolute outrage. But yet, because Fionnuala O'Connor's views are seen as socially acceptable, it would be awful to abuse her, but it's fine to target Ruth Dudley Edwards.
It's interesting you picked those two, Jimmy. Are you trying to say that unionists, for example, commentators, bloggers, whatever, get it tougher than nationalists?
I know. I don't think.
It's just interesting the choice.
I don't think it's a unionist nationalist thing. I think it's almost a left right thing. You know, it's more on social policies. If somebody is socially conservative, I think that they are targeted a lot more. And if somebody is liberal, I think they are welcomed into the sphere of social media. You know, for example, Emma Pengelly at Christmas put up a picture of a Christmas tree. you know, how you couldn't put anything less innocuous up. And the abuse that she got underneath that of people targeting her. Now, if that was somebody else, it would be outrage. And to give you one other quick example, when my child was being abused, and I won't name the person, but one political figure couched her condemnation by saying, well, it's almost understandable, given the fact that I don't support same-sex marriage. That is absolutely absurd. And that is the type of appalling hypocrisy that we have to deal with online.
Sometimes, I think, Fionnuala, we could widen this out to younger people, and in terms of the vile comments that can be posted online and the bullying. It might not be illegal per se, but the comments can be very hurtful. And if you had to provide that ID, because, you know, you might think more before you tweet something, and that can affect people. And I mentioned younger people, but maybe people that are just a bit more vulnerable and can't just put their phone to the side and say, oh, who's that idiot, some anonymous troll? I don't care what they think. And they can be really upset by it.
Sure. And I mean, some of this stuff, of course, would upset anyone, young, old, whatever, vulnerable, invulnerable. You know, there's some horrendous stuff out there, and all of it flies around in all directions, which is why I'm personally not on Twitter. Because, you know, life's too short to be dealing with all that rubbish from my point of view. But I think it really is important to say and to really stress that not everything we find nasty, hurtful or offensive is a crime. And, you know, one person's idea of trolling as abuse is another person's idea of legitimate criticism. Now, when it gets really extreme, I think we can all pretty much agree on calling that out for being just vile and horrible and revolting behaviour. But, you know, there's greyer areas. And where do you draw the line? I'm thinking too, like, there's these new Crown Prosecution Service guidelines in England and Wales. I think it was about the end of last year this came out, where online abuse would for the first time be treated as a hate crime. And I was concerned about that because I think that's dangerous for anyone who cares about free speech, and we certainly all should, because which opinions will be designated hateful? There's a heck of a lot of opinions these days which are designated as terribly offensive. I know you mustn't say that. So, you know, once you start chipping away at this stuff, you're going down the road towards authoritarianism, you know, criminalising people who are deemed to have the wrong kind of ideas. And yes, we have to find ways of dealing with the kind of everyday hateful rubbish that flies around. Personally, I would say to people, just get off the platform then.
So it's easier said than done, because sometimes, well, Jamie's an example, but other people, media people, journalists, or, you know, entertainers, whatever you want to call, you know, they need these platforms as part of what they do.
And well, do they? I mean, this is the thing that's often said.
Hold on a minute. The logic of that position is this, and it's what wouldn't be socially acceptable in the actual world. You know, let me give an example. If you go into a bar to watch a football match and somebody who supports the opposing team walks across the bar and starts abusing you and starts shouting abuse in your face, most people would look at them and think they're mentally unhinged. You would expect the door supervisor to put them out. You wouldn't leave yourself. So it's absolutely absurd to suggest...
Yeah, but that's the nature of the internet. What are you going to do?
Let's walk off the internet. Well, because if 25 or 30 people got together and chased somebody down the street and abused them and abused a child and shouted abuse at them, that would not be socially acceptable. But if 25 or 30 people get together on the internet and go after somebody abusing them, abusing a child or shouting vile abuse at them, that's fine. That's just lovable trolling. That's
well, who is really saying that's lovable trolling? It's, of course, absolutely disgraceful, but you need to be very careful with where you're going with this, because you've got to remember concerns about anonymity. I mean, the United Nations, I was looking up what they were saying about it. They say that the anonymity is fundamental to allowing individuals to exercise their freedom of opinion and expression in a digital age. And if you chip away at that, you're going down a very dangerous route.
Well, if the argument is, and I heard you made the argument earlier about freedom of expression. Well, the ultimate end of freedom of expression is within a democracy where you put your views before an electorate. So if we follow the logic of the position that, well, you're entitled to be anonymous, well, is having to provide a valid form of ID in order to stand for an election, is that eroding freedom of expression because you can't stand with a mask on?
Being a politician and participating in a representative democracy is quite different from posting something on the internet.